This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. With incarceration rates in America at record highs, the prison system now touches the lives of more than 2 million families across the U.S. The loss of a family member to incarceration can have lasting effects. Destiny Riley knows firsthand what it feels like because her brother, Carlos Riley Jr., is serving a 10-year prison sentence. Destiny and filmmaker Nick Pilarski are hoping to shine a light on this experience with a new animated documentary titled I, Destiny. The film premieres at Durham's Hayti Heritage Center next Tuesday. It's going to be followed by a panel discussion. But first, Nick and Destiny join us for a sneak preview. Destiny, welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Hello, Nick. Good to have you on the program.
Pleasure to be here.
Destiny, tell us about why you wanted to participate in this project.
Well, at first, it wasn't our first plan. Nick had an idea of doing a documentary on spirituality and soul food, and he met my aunt at JC's Kitchen, which is downtown Durham. And he ended up meeting our family, and we just connected from there.
And you are an artist yourself. You like to draw.
Yes, I do.
So tell us how this project came about, a little bit about your story, and what is this project?
Well, this project is just like a family's perspective of having a loved one incarcerated. And it's just, art has always been a way for me to express my feelings or how I'm feeling and just what I'm going through. And from there, we just added a story to art.
The story itself is the feeling of loss that you had with your brother. Had you found that a difficult thing to talk about? Again, you express it in art, but was it hard for you to talk about it?
Yeah, the first whole year, we've been working on a project for 2 years. So the first year would just be like trust building with Nick, and that was the hard part. And it was really hard to revisit those moments, but it's worth it.
Nick, what led you to change from spirituality and soul food to this story, this much more personal story?
Yeah. So when I came to this story, it kind of happened by happenstance. And frankly, the decision to kind of move all of my efforts into this was meeting Destiny and meeting her family. They're incredibly wonderful individuals, kind of wronged by the system of mass incarceration. And for me, there was kind of no other choice.
The circumstances surrounding your brother's arrest and conviction are still controversial, are they not, Destiny?
Yes, they are.
And so this is part of the story, but also to know that it's a story, to know that it is something sort of not like what other people are experiencing, is something in itself. You go to Jordan High School, and a big part of the story, it seems to me, is how you experience yourself in that school compared to how you are in other places. Tell me more about that.
Well, like I said in my story, it's like two Durhams. And there's another part in my story about me in school and like hearing people just talk about golf courses. And, you know, my reality isn't golf courses. My reality is visiting my brother at prison. And that's just like a big difference from me and other students at my school.
Let's hear how that plays out in the film.
I like to think there are two Durhams, one that's wealthy, privileged, and the other where regular people work to get by. Half of the people in my class only talk about regional golf courses. The other half just look at them like, really? I guess all they want to do is sound like their parents, talk about politics, even though they don't notice what is happening around them. They always have answers, don't ask any questions, and it's like we're living totally different lives. If they knew the stuff I do on my weekends, they probably wouldn't talk to me, like I would eat them. Because they're not exposed to real things. They haven't experienced this.
That's a clip from the new animated documentary, I, Destiny, created by my guest, Destiny Riley and Nick Pilarski. So in practical terms, what does that mean for you when you go, what do you have to do to yourself when you go to Jordan? And what goes through your head, and how does that change when you walk out the door?
Well, it's like I live like a destiny. Like as one person, I have to be a friend to all my people that doesn't understand what I go through. And then when I go home, I have to be my brother's sister. So it's kind of like living two different lives, but now I'm starting to merge those lives together.
What is that like, to be your brother's sister? Talk about the impact that has on you.
Well, me and my brother has always been close. We grew up, we have like a 7-year age difference between us, so that is difficult. But visit him through like prison is kind of hard, but now it's easier because it's like even though there's a glass separating you, you can't break that love and that bond.
There's another moment in the film where you talk about your awareness mm-hmm. of a system that, as the report on Ferguson showed, racial profiling does exist, and it is in service to a for-profit prison system. This is all reported all and I think verified all of the racial profiling is an issue. This is something you experience. And there's a moment in the film where you talk about a way that you feel that in ways that some of us might not expect. Let's listen.
My name is Destiny. Destiny spelled with an I, and I want to tell you my story. Every time I turn on TV, I skip over the National Geographic, Discovery Channel, and Animal Planet. Any channel that shows another animal being targeted. Somebody's always talking in the background, usually a white man with, you know, green outfits and shorts on, and the boots. They probably have an Australian voice. That's usually what they sound like. We always see lions, jaguars, wild boars, and hyenas. Sometimes they show snakes. Always the big ones, the most dangerous, anacondas. It seems like, on TV, danger is the only thing that exists in Africa. Probably because they never show the nice animals living peacefully. The giraffe, elephant, African deer. You know the ones. I can't think of the name. Starts with the A. Antelopes. My brother's not a lion. He's a giraffe. He's peaceful. Not all black men are lions. Just as not all white men are Australians wearing oversized funny green outfits.
A clip from the animated documentary I, Destiny. It's going to be at the Haytai Heritage Center on Tuesday, July 28th at 7 o'clock. Destiny Riley, whose voice you just heard, is with me along with filmmaker Nick Pilarski. When did you start seeing the Discovery Channel and those sort of nature documentaries in that way?
I guess like I've always skipped over them because I hate seeing like bloody stuff or dangerous stuff. But I started to connect that with the news during my brother's situation.
So, Nick, what was this like for you? Again, to what extent did you bring what you knew about this situation to the film? How much of it is Destiny's film? And you know, what role did you play in all this?
Yeah, as an artist or director, filmmaker, documentarian, I really like to collaborate. And so this is an experience as a white male that I have no connection to. It's not a lived experience for me. It was a much better experience to just kind of hand over the agency of this project to Destiny, because she knew the right choices to make. She experiences this every single day, and she kind of feels the pain and heartache. So for me, it was my role to kind of step into this and create an atmosphere that she could capitalize on her own creativity. So from that, we worked through workshops. I have a background in theater. We used improv to kind of get at, you know, what is the camera doing? What is this story going to be? We didn't know what it was going to be. And just kind of allow those seeds to be planted through the workshops and allow Destiny to turn the film into what she wanted it to be.
What did you learn in those workshops, Destiny?
I learned how to, like, show my expression. I guess working in those workshops was mainly to, like, revisit those moments of visiting my brother so we can use that in the film. That was the biggest.
And what about the drawings themselves? They're wonderful drawings. They're very spare mm-hmm. Drawings that then are animated. Had you been drawing like that and drawing those kinds of drawings before this project began?
I usually do, like, sketches, but now I'm focused more on paintings. But I never really did, like, raw photos or like nothing like that.
And what happens? What did you think when you saw them animated? How did that change anything for you in terms of even your understanding?
It really it was really personal because I love drawing and I love my family, so it was like two loves at once. So
was it hard to do? Was it hard to make those drawings because it was so personal?
I would say my brother was the hardest because I had to like use my other brother and then like had to like visualize what he looked like, and I haven't seen him in a long time. So that was the hardest part.
Nick, tell us about the evolution of this project, because once it did become about this experience, it wasn't always going to be an animated film, right? You had a couple of different ideas.
Yeah, first it started as a photo series. Destiny was interested in photography. Then we were going to make it into a video game. And then it ultimately ended up being a film. So we kind of went through until we found its kind of logical place.
Well, you talked a little bit about your experience, Destiny. What about your family? Do you talk about this? Talk about the dynamics and what kind of conversations you have at home, or do you?
We don't really have many conversations. Like, as in the film, you see, like, we're divided in our rooms and all on our screens, like TV and whatnot. So I guess, like, for them seeing the film, they actually see that I notice everyone's and everyone's feelings and how they go through the situation differently. So that's the biggest part, I would say.
Well, you can't see that, although we have a link to some of the visuals at our website. But there is a scene where we see the partitioned room and everybody there, where you describe the family dynamics.
All my dad does is worry. It makes his nose bleed once or twice a week. I guess it's a symptom of my dad's love. He tries not to worry us, but we still do. Because if he can't control his high blood pressure from stressing, he'll lose his job. My other brother, Darius, tries to cut everything out with music and video games. He builds a virtual world in his mind because it's the only place he can solve serious problems. My mom doesn't have time for herself anymore. It's like she has been running forever. She tries to be a cheerleader for everyone and tries to make everything seem normal. She wants me to feel like a kid, but that's difficult. Grandma tries to find peace by going to church or watching it on TV. The preacher is flashy with all this fancy California stuff. He asks for money. She sins. She's trying to pay for a miracle.
That is a clip from the animated documentary I, Destiny, created by my guest Destiny Riley and Nick Pilarski. It's going to be at the Hetai Heritage Center in Durham on July 28th. My guests are with me here today. It's one thing to be able to express yourself. Did you find, Destiny, that in some ways, did you surprise yourself as you began to explore your own feelings? Did things come out that you didn't even know were there?
Yes, a lot of things came out. I would say I didn't know I had it. I mean, everyone said I was talented, but I never knew I was able to touch people's hearts like this.
What do people say when they see it?
Well, they always say it's powerful and it moves them. It's very moving. I guess me just watching it 1,000 times, it's like reality. So it's kind of like I experienced this, so it's what I go through.
You talked about, this division in your high school. A lot of kids are apathetic and are not necessarily concerned with the issues of the day. Is this something you're going to show at Jordan?
My assistant principal wants me to. I don't think I will. I probably will show it in like a club or something in the school, but not as like not to the whole school.
Why not?
Well, I feel like they care, but since it's not them, they're not connected to the story. So therefore, it's kind of like, oh, I care for the moment and not like I care forever.
Well, what about that? I mean, Nick talked about coming at this from the outside. I'm listening as an outsider. There are things I never had to tell my son that I know African-American fathers and mothers have to tell their son. And when I hear that, I can understand it intellectually. I still can't feel it. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we have to feel it? Shouldn't we be confronted with this in some way?
I feel like everyone should have to feel it. It's an American story, and everyone that's American should know what it feels like.
You come from a family of activists, right?
Yes, I do.
And you have been active yourself.
Yes.
So tell us about some of those activities.
Well, my uncle, Walter Riley, he was a part of the Carolina Theater sit-ins back in the civil rights movement. My cousin, Boots Riley, he's an activist in California and a rapper. I participated in a couple of rallies and a couple of marches and speeches and stuff.
Nick, what impact has this had on you?
Yeah, I mean, it's had an incredible impact. I kind of look back at right when I came to this story. I was reading James Agee, who was talking about seeing the tenant farmers in 1936 in that summer during the Great Depression. And he writes in it that no amount of prose can ever touch at what he was seeing with his eyes. And when I, for the last 2 years, I've been practically living with the Rileys. And just experiencing what the effects of mass incarceration, I haven't experienced it, but watching it and being in the house during family events and during rallies and during holidays has really impacted me deeply to the point where I can see no other path in my life other than to kind of support this movement.
Destiny, what about your path? You're 15 years old. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm thinking about either a civil rights attorney or a lawyer. I would get into animation. It's a lot of work.
On the other hand, the legal profession, nothing to it.
It's pretty even.
Well, and it seems to me that your gift for expression would serve you well. So you're right now you're thinking about, was this something you were thinking about, the idea of being a civil rights attorney? Mm-hmm. Before you did this project?
I would say, like, during my brother's situation, but not as a... I would be, like, a film... something to film with this project, but I'm kind of stuck in between two.
Destiny, you're going to do it all, and then you're going to come back, and I'm going to say, I told you so. When you were 15, you were here, and I said you could do it all. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That is Destiny Riley. She's an artist and activist and co-creator of iDestiny, along with Nick Pilarski, a documentarian who co-created it as well. The film premieres at Durham's Hayti Heritage Center next Tuesday, July 28th, 7 o'clock, followed by a panel discussion about the impact of incarceration on families and all of us. And you can see more details at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Robin Copley is our technical director, Andrew Tai, the intern. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.